From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Mission District.
Fremont.
El Cerrito.
O-Town, baby.
Lake Merritt.
Sometimes, just when you think you know exactly what you're doing, everything changes, and you have to be ready.
My particular lockdown box will consist of food and hygiene, 5 deodorants, 5 lotions, coffee.
And even if you know what you're in for, you have to learn how to adapt.
She said, "I want you to sound so good, everyone would swear you were white."
But adapting is harder when you can't see what's coming.
It's everything I wanted to be ever since Toy Story 1 came out in 95, and now I can't do it anymore.
Things are always changing. Come along for the ride today on a special edition of Cross Currents with Snap Judgment's Glenn Washington. Welcome back to a special edition of Cross Currents from KALW News, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area. I am Julie Kane in for Hanat Baba, and today's show is all about changing, adapting, and moving on. And I'm here with somebody who knows all about that. All about it. We have a very special guest, Snap Judgment's Glenn Washington.
It is so great to be here at KALW.
We're so happy to have you.
Best little radio station in the Bay.
Yay! You know, I want to ask you a question because you're in a kind of a flip-flop role today.
Yeah.
What's it like to be the guest instead of the host?
I don't know. I mean, like, my hands are all clammy. I'm wondering what you're going to ask me. Good Lord. I hope I don't accidentally reveal some secrets.
Oh, well, that would be all right.
Yeah.
I'll be nice to you, though, I promise.
You can bet.
That'll be sweet. You know, the show today, like I said, is about, you know, changing and adapting to kind of new sudden circumstances. And I'm just curious, you know, I think, like, pretty much all Snap Judgment stories are kind of built around a moment where something happens and then you got to make a decision and go forward. I mean, can you tell me a little bit about that model in Snap?
Sure. I mean, it's about, you know, making that step, that leap, that jump, going to the edge of the diving board. And it's about, you know, really for my team, if a story really piques our curiosity, we think it's going to pique the curiosity of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And put us in situations that we don't know anything about.
Uh-huh.
I love feeling uncomfortable in a story. And I think our listeners like it, too.
Yeah, it's kind of like live radio.
Yes.
Who knows what's going to happen?
That's right.
I don't know. Is there a story about how you kind of picked that model for Snap? I mean, what's the story behind the name?
The name of Snap Judgment, it was, you know, actually kind of born all in one fell stroke. Mm-hmm. It's a long-ish story, but in a nutshell, there was a contest, and I entered this contest. I found about that the due date was the next day. And they said, well, you know, do you want to be in the radio? I was like, well, you know, maybe. And my little daughter, she was like 2 years old at the time. And she came downstairs. She was supposed to be in the bed. And I said, all right, darling, you sit there. Daddy's going to tell you a story. And I recorded that, sent it off, and forgot about it.
Wow.
And that's kind of where Snap came from.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. And have you listened to that story since?
I have listened to that story
uh-huh.
since, and it is not the greatest story in the world,
uh-huh.
but it did contain a lot of the elements that really are Snap Judgment right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of surprised that it was called Snap Judgment. It was about the decisions people make that change everything.
Wow.
And it was all there.
I love that. I love it when you just find out you had this seed in you. You didn't even know.
Had no idea.
I love that. You know, and the thing about Snap Judgment that's so awesome is, I mean, it kind of got its start on the air here at KALW, right?
I have been to this studio before.
Yes.
You know, and I got to say, you know, I've since been to a lot of radio stations
mm-hmm.
since Snap started.
Yeah.
This one, you know, this is a scrappy station.
Yes.
And that's why what they do know is happening next. It's not entirely a Snap Judgment. We're going to be asking you for dollars. And my goodness, looking around here, they invest every single dollar that you put up into this station. This is we are in nobody's palace.
That is true. Yeah. And we put everything into great programming and storytelling.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm going to just give a number right now because we are in our spring membership campaign. We are, you know, actually in the last couple days of the campaign, we're trying to end it tomorrow night.
Do it.
Yes. And so if you can help us do that, 800-525-9917.
You know, the reason why you need to do this is because a lot of KLW listeners are carrying around a guilt burden. They have it right down. I'm afraid they do.
It's sad.
It's a sad thing. They think, well, you know, I'll contribute later, or I contributed last year, when you know that membership's already expired. You know this. And so what they're offering right now, volunteers are standing by. Yes, they will take your money, but they're really offering you absolution.
Oh, yes.
Go on ahead. Get that burden off. Put it somewhere else where it belongs. Invest it.
Yes.
You know, in the community and the station that is the grittiest station in the United States of America. Every single dollar goes right back into the listening that you enjoy day after day. It's a station I listen to when I'm driving around in the Bay. And obviously, it's a station you listen to as well.
Mm-hmm.
That number is 1-800-525-9917. Give them a call. It pains me to see the volunteers over there pitiful and sad with no one to talk to.
They want to talk to you.
It's not right.
No, it's sad. Lay your burden down. Lay it down. You can go online, KALW.org.
The feeling you will feel deep inside. Oh, Lord.
Yes. Or 800-525-9917. You know, you might have the seed in you, just like Glenn Washington did. He didn't know he was going to do this.
And I didn't know. I'm so happy. Actually, one of the first stations that picked up Snap Judgment was right here, KALW.
Yes.
Matt Martin and gang, we appreciate it immensely. And that's why we want to give back. And I know you want to give back, too.
Well, I want to I just want to give the number one more time, 800-525-9917. And we've got a story about another kind of sudden change, sudden decision. And it's kind of remarkable because it happens in a place where you might think everything is all the same day after day. From the San Quentin Prison Report.
Wow.
Here's our first story.
San Quentin Prison Report.
Bringing you hidden stories from life inside.
In order to make something grow, you got to own a little dirt.
You don't tell, you see what goes on.
Because I like to be free. I like to move about the land.
You could hear a pin drop, and all of a sudden, you heard this.
I mean, once you're in the cell, you're listening.
At San Quentin State Prison, a lockdown happens when correctional officers decide there's a threat to safety and security inside the prison. Something like a fight, an assault, or a race riot. The men have to stay locked in their cells, stuck with another inmate in a space the size of a small bathroom. They can't go anywhere unless they're strip searched, handcuffed, and escorted by a guard. Lockdowns can last for months. So how do they prepare? From inside San Quentin, reporter Adnan Khan has this story. And a note to our listeners, because SQPR reporters are only allowed to record in one part of the prison, they've recreated some prison sounds in their media lab.
A prison yard has a very unpredictable environment. Violence and lockdowns can happen at any time.
Well, my name is John Johnson. I also go by Yahya. I've been down 20 years. I've been in more lockdowns than I can remember. The longest lockdown I've been in is 10 months in Corcoran State Prison.
My name's Trevor Bird. I've been locked up 16 years, endured many lockdowns, and the longest was 8 months up at High Desert.
Here's how it starts. The first few hours of the day are spent gathering information.
There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of uncertainty and nervousness.
You're not sure what's going on. Yahya remembers how he heard something bad had happened.
Eventually, my cellie came in, and he had this look of bewilderment on his face. I said, man, what happened out there? He said, man, it was bad. It was a race riot. And I looked at his face, man. I seen the terror in his eyes, and I was like, wow.
That race riot was the start of a 10-month lockdown. At the beginning, you don't know how long it's going to last. During lockdowns, there's absolutely no movement unless you're handcuffed and escorted by officers. Inmates find ways to communicate with each other by doing things like yelling on the tiers, talking through the ventilation system, or even taking advantage of the escort.
Sometimes your only chance to communicate with somebody else is, you know, maybe on a quick little 15-second walk to the shower.
Adapting is key for any form of survival, as is preparation. Just like Bay Area residents who prepare earthquake kits, many inmates prepare by having a lockdown box, or what Bird likes to call it, a war chest.
The war chest are the basic necessities. We're not filling it with, you know, candy bars and, you know, smell good body wash. No, these are the things that you're going to need to fight off hunger and to fight off your own funk in the cell.
My particular lockdown box would consist of food and hygiene. It was mandatory to have 5 deodorants, 5 lotions, 5 toothpastes, things like that, coffee. It's a must to have 240 soups in your cell at any given time.
An earthquake kit is stocked, stored, and put away for unexpected emergencies. Lockdown box is no different.
A lockdown box is never really generally touched. You know, it's something that you know that you're going to have to rely on at some point in a long lockdown, so it's a box that's taken, placed under the bed, and it's out of sight.
Eventually, the lockdown box diminishes, and they run out of supplies. The 3 meals a day the state provides is not nearly enough for an adult, and the hunger becomes unbearable.
You know, hollowness in your gut. I mean, that your belly just grinding on your backbone, and the hunger pains. You know, look to that sack lunch, and a graham cracker, you know, just might be enough to let you fall asleep that night.
The same meal is repeated over and over, so the men have to use their imaginations.
Sometimes that loaf of bread could turn into, you know, mama's lasagna, mom's fried chicken.
You know, so when we ate these peanut butter sandwiches, it was always considered a steak, you know, with A1 steak sauce being the jelly. You know, our imaginations run wild again because you're confined to this cell and you're coping.
I mean, your mind wanders and your mind, you know, tries to fill in the gaps of what could be and what should be, but what really isn't.
You know, and you find yourself being creative and imaginative to make the food more palatable when you eat it.
Mix up that Kool-Aid and sip it slowly like it's, you know, your favorite soft drink or something, or a smoothie.
Within a few weeks, men establish routines for themselves and with their cellies.
So a lot of the time is, you know, spent dividing up the time on the floor. So you're either on your rack or you're on the floor. And there's not enough room for both of you to be on the floor at the same time. So we divide it evenly and tippy-toe around each other like that.
Still, being barricaded with another man for 24 hours a day for several months and basically a room the size of a bathroom can be extremely challenging.
Being on a lockdown with an individual that you're not compatible with is hell. You know, it works your nerves. You have to have good coping mechanisms in order not to go crazy in one of these small prison cells.
During lockdowns, men can only shower every 2 days, so they find methods of cleaning themselves inside their cells daily, which is known as a bird bath.
Splash down, suds up, you know, with your little sink and your little trickle of water that comes out. Usually we got some ladle of some type. Usually it's your mug. You're using your sink and your toilet to corral all the water. And a few floor towels to, you know, sop up the excess.
Since visits and phone calls are restricted, the only form of communicating with family members is through letters.
You know, I write my family. I have a son. I have a granddaughter. My mother, they're active, you know, participants in, you know, doing this prison time with me.
And my letter going out can reach my family within a couple days. It takes about 15 to 20 days sometimes for one of their letters to reach me.
But Bird and his dad found creative ways to make their letters during the lockdown a bit more interesting.
We'd start up a game of chess, and it was not out of the norm to, you know, just send off a letter with nothing but a simple chess move in it. P.S. Pop, Queen's Bishop to E5. Check. Talk about a slow game of chess. There's no time on the clock there because I'm waiting 15 to 20 days for his responding move.
So how were those chess games?
A slow, well-thought-out game of chess was great. And, I mean, my dad and I, you know, certainly enjoyed those.
But lockdowns are very psychologically challenging.
Just being stuck in that cell without movement day after day after day, I struggled to, you know, stay sociable.
Having been locked down, confined to a cell with minimal movement, the maintenance of my sanity, not being able to go to the canteen, not being able to get a package, not being able to visit your people.
And I'd spend, you know, 3-4 days in my own head, but that would be 3-4 days that I didn't write a letter. Didn't even say a word to my celly. 3-4 days just spent in a depression.
Yahya and Bird did utilize their lockdown time productively. Yahya learned to speak Arabic and Bird earned his AA degree taking correspondence courses through the mail. But neither of them would ever want to do another lockdown again.
No way. They're just too much wear and tear on the soul.
Absolutely not. As I like to be free, I like to move about the land and learn things without being confined in a box.
For the San Quentin Prison Report, I'm a non-con.
You are listening to a special edition of Cross Currents. I'm Julie Kane, and I'm here with Snap Judgment's Glenn Washington.
Yes, you are. And I just heard that prison report, the San Quentin Prison Report, and it was transportive. Mm. It's something I think that the guys out there do a really, really good job in letting us know what's going on.
Yeah, and you know, I actually think some of those reporters may be listening to the show right now, so we just want to say a big shout out to you guys. You do great work.
We sure do.
And, you know, that project, San Quentin Prison Report, that's a KALW project, homegrown. We air their work regularly on Cross Currents. We do a lot of editing and training with the inmate reporters. And, I mean, I was just there a month or so ago, and
it's just one of those things you're not going to get anywhere else.
Yeah.
This is the only place that does stuff like this. I don't think that a lot of the Bay Area realizes how fortunate they are to have a station right here that takes chances like this,
mm-hmm.
that reaches out, that is not just broadcasting to the community, but is part of that community.
Yeah, and so you said you were getting ready to go visit San Quentin, huh?
I am. I have to get my my background cleared, which was going to take a little while,
yes.
apparently. they got a lot of things to check.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I can't
mm-hmm.
wait to be able to get out there and see what's happening.
It's a really interesting experience. And it's kind of different from what they were talking about in that story, the lockdown. You know, actually, when you go into San Quentin, when they're not on lockdown, it's like, I don't know, there's just a lot of people walking around, people getting haircuts, people playing basketball, baseball. You know, it's fascinating to be in that yard. I can't wait for you to get to go there.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But again, this kind of thing happens at one station and
mm-hmm.
one station only, KALW.
Yes.
And right now, we're looking for you to support work like you've just heard. The number to dial is 1-800-525-9917. Or give us a shout at klw.org.
And you know, we have a challenge this hour.
What is it?
If we get 30 calls or clicks by the end of the hour, we will get an extra $500 that is given to us by some listeners. I'll thank them, Janet and Ronald Giannini from San Francisco and David and Noreen Hennig from Atherton. $500, 30 calls or clicks by 6.
Oh, we're going to get that money. I didn't come all the way out here
mm-hmm.
to KALW to leave $500 on the table.
Oh, no.
There's no way. And we want to thank, actually, some of the people who've already contributed. And I've got a paper in front of me. Mary Roach in Oakland. I believe it's the writer, Mary Roach. Hello, how you doing? She says, I love KLW. Any public radio station that shares bathrooms with a high school is for real.
Yes.
How could you not give money?
That is the truth.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you very much. I have got some people to thank, too. First, I just want to give the number out really quickly, 800-525-9917. Go online to KALW.org. A click is as good as a call for this challenge. And we got a couple more people to thank here. Matt OJ in Half Moon Bay, Sybil Marcus in Berkeley. And I'm going to try. I've got a pronouncer here. Forgive me if I get your name wrong here. Naranjana Najurahan. Forgive me, but thank you. She's Naranjahan says, they spend 2 hours in the car, and KALW is her savior.
See? That's what her savior. Did you hear that, folks? And one more thank you to Danny Murphy, especially because he said, in particular, I love the Snap Judgment.
Oh. Well, I love it, too. I mean, it's on our air today. It was on Wednesday, 1 o'clock.
Wednesday, 1 o'clock.
Right?
That's
yes.
right.
Uh-huh. Now, you know, there's something about that San Quentin piece that we heard that makes me really think about this Snap Judgment story that I just heard. I want to play a little excerpt, okay?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So it's this piece called Cop Out.
Mm.
And it's about a man named Robert Davis. He was a cop in New Orleans in the 70s, and he ended up being really corrupt. So he committed all these terrible crimes, and he eventually got caught. He got arrested.
Yes, he did.
Mm. But he was scared of going to prison. And
scared because when a cop goes to prison, especially back in the day,
yeah.
he was about to get dealt with.
Yeah.
The old-fashioned way.
He's going to be with the general population, with guys he put in prison.
Right.
Right. So he didn't want to do that. He was scared. And so he took off and he headed into the woods where he stayed for 22 years.
The real-life Grizzly Adams.
Yeah. Let's listen to a clip from that story.
I remember when I was going off the main highway, going back into the woods. I was afraid. You've done research, but you haven't actually applied anything yet. I looked down the highway to the north, then I turned and looked through the south, and this is an old rural highway. And I remember distinctly, you know, saying goodbye, world. And I began to step into the woods. Every step was a very difficult step because I knew I had to go deep in there. The first night was rough, I mean, as you can imagine, because I was scared to death. I remember laying down in my tent. You know, I began to fear the darkness, the strange sounds, and I was tucked up underneath a sleeping bag, and I thought really that something had touched my leg. I got up with the pistol ready to shoot, and I actually found out that I was so scared that I had touched my leg with my other leg. Now that's what you call scared. I distinctly remember looking up at the sky at night and seeing an airplane headed south, and I began to think of my siblings back home. I had a son that was just born during that time. I began to think about home in general. I mean, it was just like traveling to the moon. You know, I had nobody that I could call or anything. And a couple of times I thought about pulling the trigger, you know, just shoot myself and that would be it. Eventually, I mean, I got better and more comfortable being out there. It's remarkable what a human mind, I sometimes think, how it would adjust to certain conditions, because throughout the day, I had routine things that other people would do too. Like, for instance, I had moments where I would call going to look at TV. And that essentially meant climbing a tree and looking at the animals, at the birds, how they hunt. And that was TV to me. I became an expert tracker. I could look at tracks and know what this was, whether it was a raccoon, whether it was a bear, a wolf. About the first year in the woods, I wasn't scared anymore.
Wow, that is intense. That was an excerpt from the Snap Judgment story, Cop Out. That comes from producer Anna Sussman.
Yes, it does.
And there's a lot more to that story, right?
It's an amazing piece. Anna worked really, really hard on it.
Yeah. And so, you know, we'll put a link to the whole story on our website. It's kalw.org.
While you're there, you might as well go ahead and give a little something to support the station that supports you.
Yeah.
You are listening to KALW during a pledge drive, which means you're one of us. Can't get anywhere. No one but true believers listen to a radio station in the middle of a pledge drive. That whole Nike thing, it's in you. It is in you right now. And because it is in you, go ahead and support the station that supports you. And that number to call is 1-800-525-9917.
And you could also go online, kalw.org. I know people are out there. I feel people are listening right now.
And they say that 30 calls we need. This. Don't let me come all the way from Oakland to the station in San Francisco and go home leaving KALW bereft of the calls they need. Snappers, you got to step up right now.
Yes, please.
1-800-525-9917, because this was the first station in America to play Snap Judgment, and we appreciate it. Now on 320 stations nationwide, but it started right here at KALW.org.
Yeah, we really like to take chances. We really like to bring voices to the air that you don't hear anywhere else.
They also took a chance and were the first to play 99% in Visible for former snapper Roman Mars. This is the type of stuff, I kid you not, it just doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah.
It happens at one station in the country. The scrappy, gritty, hardworking, blinking light situation out here at KLW, part of a middle school this used to be, right?
High school. This is a high school.
This is a high school.
Oh, yes.
A high school, you know, it is not a palace out here. There are no cocktails being delivered. There are no silver trays.
No.
This is just people making radio.
Yeah. We even have really old phones. But you can make those old phones ring.
Make them ring.
800.
Make it ring.
525-9917 or KALW.org. We've got really, actually some really cool thank you gifts too. You can see all that stuff at KALW.org. And, you know, you can talk to some of the really great volunteers about other kinds of gifts that we have and they can tell you all about it. But really, the gift is to really be part of this. I mean, 3/4 of our budget comes from listeners.
3/4.
Isn't that amazing?
And you're listening again. Doing a pledge drive.
Yes.
That means you.
Yeah.
You right now. Don't wait for somebody else. They're not there. The people that are listening right now make this thing happen. They've made it happen for a long time, and we're looking for people to step up to the plate.
Yes.
1-800-525-9917.
Yes. Call, or you know what else you can do? I'm going to take us to another story pretty soon, but you could go online while you're listening to the story. KALW.org. There's a little yellow button that says donate now. Click on it. Donate now. You know, we have this 30-caller click challenge. We only have a half an hour left.
Can I get the thank you gifts at KLW.org?
You can. You sure can.
But what's the number to call if I want the thank you gifts?
That is 800-525-9917.
I can get them either way, huh?
Yes. Give a call. Go online. And I just want to say, like, all those people you can talk to on the phone, they're going to be listening to you. And one of the things we do a lot here at KLW is we listen. And you can learn a lot that way. But sometimes your ears don't tell you the whole story. And so with that in mind, let's hear our next story. The way we sound is always adjusting, especially depending on the social situations we're in.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hey!
What's up?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, girl.
What's going down with you?
It's a term linguists call code switching, originally used for people who would switch back and forth between two languages, like English and Espanol. But the term has evolved to include the tone, accents, and inflections that we use depending on who we're talking to. Many of us do it. Even our president does it. Listen to this speech Obama gave at the 2009 NAACP convention.
We need to go back to the time, back to the day when parents saw some kid fooling around. And it wasn't your child, but they'll whoop you anyway.
And here's how a Fox News reporter responded.
But what was going on with the accent that he was affecting? I thought that was just weird.
Is it weird? In search of some answers, KALW's Leela Day decided to talk this one out.
Growing up, I heard plenty of jokes about the way I spoke.
Listen to how you talk, like a white girl. Who do you think you is?
You sound white when you're on the phone.
But I couldn't help the way I sounded. It's a default voice, just how I speak. You see, where I grew up in Las Vegas, there were two types of black kids in school. Those who hung out only with other black kids, and those who bounced back and forth between black and non-black friends. I was in the second group. And with all that switching back and forth, my voice switched too. And it still does. Like when I'm on the phone with my sister.
Girl, you better ask somebody. What you are talking about.
It's not something I'm always conscious of. Sometimes it just sort of happens.
Yeah, he came in looking all crazy, acting all crazy, talking all crazy. I was like, uh-uh, you better back off.
Now, as an adult, I have fun with it.
You all up in my Kool-Aid, you don't even know the flavor.
But as a kid, it wasn't always this way. Finding my voice was, well, just painful. At school, being told I sounded white meant only one thing. I wouldn't be eating my corn dog and tater tots at the black kids' lunch table. But that was then. Nowadays, in some schools, corn dogs and tater tots have been replaced with tofu dogs and a green salad. It got me wondering if the conversation among teens may have changed too. So I went to a place where I thought I might find some black teens who've been accused of talking white. The skate park.
Black people have told me I talk white before. Like, I don't know, like, what it means to, like, talk white or talk black.
They've been saying I talk white. I get pissed off. They only do it because my mom's white, you know, so I have to speak respectable. And they think since I'm black, I have to act ghetto and be stupid.
I guess talking white would be, like, I don't know, like, I want to say, like, speaking proper, I guess, like how most white people talk or most normal people talk, you know?
This conversation got me interested in talking to someone whose job depends on his voice.
I'm Joshua Johnson. I'm the morning newscaster for KQED Public Radio.
Johnson's been in radio for years. He's African-American, and he sounds pretty similar when he's on the air.
It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Joshua Johnson.
And when he's talking with me in person.
Is this your radio voice?
This is my voice.
This is your voice. So is your...
People ask me that a lot. They're like, do your radio voice. I'm like, have we not been talking for 15 minutes? This is it. You know, my goal on the radio is to sound like me. I don't want to
sound like the news anchor who is enunciating the headlines at you.
But Johnson says he has experienced surprise reactions when people realize he's black.
We did a show about race and diversity in Silicon Valley. And somewhere in the show, I mentioned that I'm African-American. I forget what the context was, but somewhere in the show, I mentioned it. And I got an email from a listener who basically wrote, I never would have guessed that you were black.
Johnson says he doesn't let these reactions about his race really bother him. Like me, he's heard it all. The patronizing tone. You're so articulate. You speak so well. But Johnson thinks this ignorance can also be a lesson in disguise. To show us assumptions we often make about race.
Did you respond to that?
I did. I told him it was a very good thing that you as a white person have to stop looking at me as a black person as other and presume that I sound like everybody on BET.
I asked Johnson if he'd ever been accused of sounding white when he was growing up. He tells me that he not only heard the accusation, but he grew up with black adults insinuating that it was preferable to sound white was to sound high quality.
In my hometown of West Palm Beach, Florida, I remember the choir director, Ms. Richardson, said, I want you to sound so good that if I put you on stage behind a curtain and had you sing to the audience, everyone would swear you were white.
To sound professionally marketable or quote-unquote proper, it's the goal most parents and teachers set out for kids. I mean, saying the word ain't in my house would warrant a side glare from mom that was just as bad as a spanking. Johnson says he was very aware of this as a child.
I always knew there was something blessed and something cursed about the way I spoke. I knew that it would open doors for me, and I knew that none of my friends was behind those doors.
But what is it about the fear of those doors closing because of the way we sound? There's actually a name for it. It's called linguistic profiling, a term coined by Professor John Baugh, a PhD at Stanford University. He did a study where he selected 5 racially diverse cities in the Bay Area to inquire about housing for rent. First, he called using an African-American accent.
Yes, my name is Michael Davis. I was calling to see if you might have any houses for rent that might be available.
Then he called again, this time with a Latino accent.
Hello, this is Juan Ramirez. I'm calling about the apartment you have advertised in the paper.
With these accents, Baugh was told nothing was available. But when he switched to what he called a neutral accent, he was often invited to see the properties. I was linguistically profiled recently. I was working on a story that involved a support group for African Americans. Many of them had a criminal record. At first, they seemed very open to being interviewed, but then they turned cold. Days turned into weeks of messages without a return phone call. When we finally met, one of the coordinators laughed. I would have gotten back to you sooner if I would have known you were black. And although we both laughed together about her comment, I had a moment of deflation. Like eating that corn dog alone at lunch. But as for my voice, whether it works to my advantage or not, it's just the one I got. For Cross Currents, I'm Leela Day.
You are listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Julie Kane. I'm here with Snap Judgment's Glenn Washington. Thanks again for being here.
It's great to be here, Julie.
You know, the kind of things that Leila Day and Joshua Johnson were talking about in that story, I mean, is that something you've ever encountered in public radio? Or?
Well, you know, actually, when I was a teenager, I had a job at a marketing firm, actually a survey taking firm. Mm-hmm. I'd call people up and bother them, and I was the guy who annoyed you at dinner time. And one day, I called up, and when you do these surveys, the very last questions they ask are, number one, how much money you make, and number two, what race you are.
Uh-huh.
And when I was asking the guy, I was closing up the survey. It would have been the last survey of the night. Everyone around me, they're crowding them, they're happy because we're going to go home. And I said, what race are you, sir? And he said, well, of course I'm white, and I know you're not. And use the N-word, because I can tell by your voice.
Whoa.
And he couldn't tell by my voice. And we spent the rest of that summer pranking this guy from the place. But it's just one of those things. I mean, I think the what people assume about your voice is very, very important.
Yeah. Wow, that's an intense story.
Well, a better one is that my mother, she was the first, I didn't know it was called code switching, but she would get on the phone with her sisters, girl, you don't know what was happening around here. And I would never hear her speak like that to us. She always used a very, very different inflection.
Uh-huh.
And she said, that's not for you to be listening to how I speak to my sisters. Just go on about your business. And,
so interesting.
And both are good. Both are all right. We speak lots of countries. They speak several languages. We can at least use a few different inflections in ours.
That's true. You know, I don't know. It's just so interesting to think about voice. And I don't know, we work a lot here at KALW to bring just a lot of different voices to the air and really let people speak in their real true voice, whatever that is. And I don't know. What do you think we lose if we kind of narrow it just to one voice?
Well, you know, it's funny to have Joshua Johnson, Mr. Articulate,
yeah.
Mr. You know, the protector of the king's tongue. he say what he said on that last story. We lose so much. And that's what's so great about KALW is that the intelligence to expect listeners to understand their own America, to not have to get in the way and translate to, because, you know, the people who listen to this station, they appreciate, you know, crossing these bridges and going through these tunnels and going to communities they might not be personally familiar with.
Yeah.
But they can at least vicariously travel through KALW, and that's why it is so important to keep this station on the air and keep it strong.
Mm-hmm.
And that number to call to make sure it stays that way is 1-800-525-9917.
Yeah, please give that number a call or go online to KALW.org. We are in our spring membership campaign.
This is it, Julie.
Yes.
This is we're right at the home stretch, right?
We are. That's right. We're trying to wrap this up tomorrow night.
Good Lord. So if you are the type of person that I am that likes to wait for the last minute, this is the last minute.
This is it.
We're not going to keep doing this. And really, the strength of the station is going to depend upon how many listeners, how many true blue people, how many people who listen to KALW during a pledge break.
Uh-huh.
Can we get to support this station? And really, I know they make programming decisions based on what happens during this time period.
Yeah. Well, you can be part of those decisions. That's why I'm saying we're three-quarter listener supported. Like, you're part of how we make decisions about what to put on the air. 800-525-9917.
What if we can't afford to have a prison report on this on this station? What if we can't afford the training that goes into these young and not so young reporters that are learning their craft at KALW?
We have a whole training academy. Those are some of the folks that are in the phone room right now. We're teaching people how to make radio. We're in this golden age of audio. Everybody keeps talking about that. And a lot of that is, I mean, honestly, is kind of coming out of the back of this high school where we are, KALW.
And going national. I've said before, I'll say again, Snap Judgment, the first station to air it in the country, was KALW. And I wonder why they felt comfortable in taking a chance on an unproven show.
Mm.
It's just something that's, I mean, it's certainly changed my life.
Yeah.
And I think that the types we try, much as KLW does, to bring voices to the media that would otherwise be neglected.
Yeah, it's amazing, and we're actually really thankful here at KLW that everybody out there is allowing us to do this work and to really bring this kind of stuff into people's cars, living rooms, headphones. You know, you can make it happen. 800-525-9917.
What does a KALW listener look like?
Well, I'm one.
Yeah.
You're one.
I certainly am.
You know, I mean,
we don't look the same.
No, we don't. We don't. But you know what? You know what we both have going on?
What do we have?
Big grins on our faces.
And big old hearts.
Joyful.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see somebody walking down the street with a big grin and a happy heart, 9 times out of 10, they're going to know all about KLW.
I think that's true, actually. Like, I really think that's true. Yeah. 800-525-9917. We've got this challenge, 30 calls or clicks by 6 o'clock.
And I know, Snappers, Snapland, that we're going to get to that, or they're not going to invite me back here anymore, and they'll put David Sedaris or somebody here. I can't have that happen. I can't go away in defeat. If you appreciate Snap Judgment, if you appreciate KALW being the first station in the country to play Snap, go on ahead and give them a call, 1-800-525-9917. And like we were saying before, you know you want to do this. You've been meaning to do it for a long time.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, maybe it didn't work out or whatever. Somebody got on the phone. Your kid was hollering. But this is something that is in your to-do list. So go on ahead on the very, hopefully, the last bit of the pledge drive. Go on ahead and get that absolution you deserve. 1-800-525-9917. It is so easy, and you will feel so good.
You will. I know you will. I'm going to just thank a couple people who have done that because I know they're feeling really good right now. Amanda Brown Stevens in Oakland.
Brown Stevens.
Thank you. You know her?
I do. It's my dear friend.
Oh, my goodness. Well, she says she loves that KALW is one of the first to play Snap Judgment. Not one of the first. The first.
The first.
The first.
Right on.
Yeah. And Shanaz Jamin in Palo Alto. And Novella Carpenter, who I know, Novella Carpenter in Oakland, keep on keeping on. You make me proud to live in the Bay Area.
Aren't you proud to live in the Bay Area?
I am.
Because where else would the community come together to support something like this?
Yeah. Nowhere else. Right here. KALW.org.
Well, anyway, I'm proud to be here. I'm not proud that the studio is still in the back of a high school right now, because we're going to step that up for a drive a little bit later on. But right now, let's make this work.
Okay. You can click while we go to our next story, KALW.org. And I'm going to bring you a story now from another homegrown series here at KALW. This one comes from the Litography Project.
Wow.
Ah! The Litography Project!
Shh. Your guide to the literary Bay Area.
These days, you could probably get by without knowing how to read. No need to lug around that Harry Potter tome, just download the audiobook.
The villagers of Little Hangleton still call it the Riddle House.
No need to look at a map, just ask Siri to tell you where to go.
Head southwest on Homestead Street, then turn right onto Bowdoin Street.
For people who are visually impaired, those conveniences can be life-changing, but they're also restrictive. Listening to an audiobook isn't the same thing as reading, and that's meant a new role for an old technology, Braille. KALW's Angela Johnston brings us the story of how one man learned how to read again.
Marco Salsiccia is a huge movie buff. He owns hundreds of DVDs. They fill his small apartment in the Sunset District.
My top three are 2001 A Space Odyssey, No Country for Old Men, and Interstellar has kind of worked its way up to third.
Some are piled on his dining room table. Others are organized in spinning shelves in his living room.
Yeah, I have about 400 for my total collection.
He has action films, horror films, comedy flicks, lots of animation. Those are his favorite, because animation is a big part of Salsiccia's life.
It's basically what I went to school for. It's the industry I was part of for 12 years. It's everything I wanted to be ever since Toy Story 1 came out in 95, and now I can't do it anymore.
This is because one day last year, Salsicha suddenly lost his sight.
I was at home one night. I was struggling to use the computer, and all of a sudden my vision just sort of slowly went dark and didn't really come back until the next day, but after that it was pretty much downhill from there.
When Salsicha was a child, he had radiation treatment for eye cancer, and he was cured, but no one knew how it would affect his vision down the road.
It wasn't even on the radar. Like, I had no idea that could happen or was going to happen.
When he became blind, things that seemed simple just weren't anymore.
Hitting buttons on a microwave or you doing the laundry, you know, twisting the knob to the right location, you know, things that you visually use.
Salsicha decided he would learn Braille. He enrolled in classes at the Lighthouse for the Blind. It's an organization in San Francisco that helps rehabilitate people who have little or no vision.
Good. So let's try the next line.
Yeah, the man.
Good.
Sense.
Uh-huh. So here's this number one.
Okay.
Eventually, reading Braille became a lot less daunting.
I originally thought that each letter was like a tactile representation of what the letter actually was, and that was a mistake.
Eventually, reading Braille became a lot less daunting.
But once I started learning grade one Braille, it made perfect sense. As I started learning here, I picked it up really quickly. I learned grade one in about 3 weeks.
Inside the center, you hear the humming and clicking of the Braille embossing printers. They're used to print pages of Braille newsletters, Giants baseball schedules, Muni maps, maps of Golden Gate Park. Some of the maps being printed are called talking maps. You can point a special digital pen at a symbol on the map, and it'll literally tell you what's on the paper.
Stairs up to street. Northwest corner of Market and Castro Streets.
But even though there are these incredible forms of digital technology, there are certain things technology can't do.
And audiobooks will not tell you the spelling of the words. They will not give you the punctuation marks and how the sentences are arranged using punctuation mark, things like that.
That's Davina Carlson, Marco Salsicha's Braille teacher.
It will open the world to you, and you're not being, limited to just audio or large print.
Braille dots are really tiny, so when Carlson teaches, she starts out big, really big. She uses things like muffin tins and tennis balls. She says learning Braille is easier when objects are larger.
The six dots, so that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if I want them to show a letter C, I'll just put it this way. So this is your letter C, and then they fill it on the actual Braille. And this is A.
Once students learn the alphabet, Carlson will start to teach them how to read sentences in children's books. There's even a modern take on reading Braille. It's called a Braille display.
He has never touched one. He and Jutta smuggle the device back to Victoriastrasse 3 and appraise it beneath an electric lamp.
Scott Blanks is the deputy director of the Lighthouse, and he uses one. It's about the size of a keyboard, but instead of keys, there are sets of holes.
And that's a device that you can connect either wired or wirelessly to a computer or a smartphone or a tablet, and essentially access any of the information that's appearing on the screen of that device.
Here's how it works. First, he selects the book he wants using his iPhone's screen reader.
Menu, button, all items, book browser button, the chronic, all the light we cannot see, a novel, door, Anthony. Downloading, 0.0%, all the light we cannot see, a novel, door, Anthony.
It sounds like Siri on steroids.
Downloading, 36.8%.
Sped up so he can move around quickly.
Downloading, 77.7%.
Then the Braille display reads words from the ebook. And the Braille starts to pop up on the display like small rubber bubbles. For Blanks, the tactility is part of the experience.
I found that reading something in Braille was just such a really deeply connected experience. It mirrors the experience of reading something visually. Even though you're using your fingers, it's It's hitting your brain the same way that something does when you read it visually.
This is why Blanks likes to read things in Braille digitally. But there's times when he just feels like ordering a big old-fashioned Braille book from the library.
It's still nice to open a book and smell the paper and hear the kind of the binding creak a little bit when you open it up.
Ocean's 11.
Back at home, Marco Salsicha hasn't gotten to the stage where he can read his favorite novel yet. Right now, he's using Braille for the more practical things, like labeling that huge collection of DVDs.
Alrighty.
Jurassic Park.
His girlfriend tells him the name of the movie, and he uses a Braille machine to type out the titles.
This will do Jurassic Park, we'll do Lost World, and then forget the third one.
Since Salsicha lost his sight, he says he pays more attention to the storyline and sound effects, using a special feature for the visually impaired.
While the movie is playing on the screen, someone's describing, like there's a pre-recorded description track that pops up when no one's talking. So it does its best to describe what's happening to the best of their ability.
After he finishes labeling a big batch of movies, he scans the cases, feeling and reading his newly learned Braille. He finds Interstellar, pops it in the player, and listens.
Drenched in sweat, Cooper sits up and slouches on the edge of his bed. Pushing himself to his feet, he goes to a window, his shape silhouetted in the light of dawn as he looks out at cornfields stretched toward a horizon of low mountains. He wears a somber expression.
For Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.
And you're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Julie Kane. I'm here with Glenn Washington. Glenn, we are at the end of the show.
Uh-oh.
What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking that, the end of Interstellar music. This is great. I feel like I've just taken a trip. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to just get this note that Hanna Baba, I think I'm sitting in her seat, or one of her seats, that she actually donated to the station that she worked for and encourages everyone to do the same. It's fantastic.
Now, she did that because she loves Snap Judgment.
Why wouldn't she love Snap Judgment?
Yes.
I love KLW, and that's why, I'm so thrilled every year when I get to come out here and hang out with you guys for a little while.
We love it. We just thank you so much. It's so fun to have you here. And yeah. I know Hana called in 800-525-9917 because she's trying to help us make this challenge. We only have 5 minutes. We are trying to get 30 calls or clicks. We get an extra $500 donated by some great listeners. Boy, we can really do a lot with $500 extra dollars.
This station can do amazing things with little bits of money, and $500 is a lot of it. And I know that the snappers in the Bay are going to step up and make it happen at 1-800-525-9917. So many people have called in. Elizabeth Powers, Alex Scott.
Thank you.
Richard Friedlander. Mm. Bridget Huber.
Yay.
That's right. Jason Blaylock.
Blaylock.
Blaylock. Thank you so much for calling.
Oh,
and
my.
We appreciate your support of this station. I appreciate it because I need KALW to stay right where it is. I can't have it going anywhere. I can't have them stressed out here wondering how they're going to make this radio happen. I want to be able to turn on this station and know that it's safe, sound, protected, because it's become part of my day. I know it's become part of yours. So, and if it is in you, which, let's just get that out of the way. It is, because you're listening, doing a pledge drive. And since it is in you, go on ahead and support the station that matters to you, the station that, you know, lets you either close out your day, like right now during drive time, or maybe helps you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, it's in you, and it's got to get out, right?
That's right.
Yes, 800-525-9917 or KALW.org. We really want tomorrow to be the last day of this drive, and we have already raised more than $250,000 for local public radio, but we still have something like $100,000 to go. So we really,
Wait, what? Did Kim Friedas in Redwood City, did she actually call again to help us get to 30 calls?
What?
She called earlier today, apparently, and she called again because she's not going to leave this $500 on the table.
Oh.
That is what I call a real KLW supporter. And I'll even call you a snapper for that one, Kim. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
thank
Esther Dolitz in Richmond, She's a new member, and she had to pull over. She heard that Snap Time was coming to KLW. It's fantastic. This community, I know that because I'm part of it. It's not just the radio itself. There are events that are associated with the membership. There are gifts that you can receive once you call or check online at klw.org. Mm. It ends up being like, in fact, now this is the whole thing too. If you, let's just say you're single right now. Let's say you need a little somebody special to cuddle up with come nighttime. The very best way to find that person is to go to a KALW event.
Oh.
There you shall find. If you seek, you will find. I mean, I've heard it again and again and again. It used to be that you could go and look at somebody's album collection and determine if they were the right one for you. Now, these days, do you listen to this station? Because if you don't, maybe I don't need to talk to you.
Maybe when you ask for their number, they're going to give you this one.
Well, that would be weird. But you do. I mean, it's one of those things. Are you an adventurous person? Are you someone who thinks about life? Do you care about the community that you live in? These are all concerns that we have for our friendships, for our mates, for our partners. This is stuff that matters to you. And this is a good way. This is a shorthand for letting people know that you're one of those people.
And I want to ask people to call. We just have until you hear Terry Gross's voice.
Terry Gross.
That's what's coming up next. We have 1 minute, 800-525-9917. Go online, KALW.org. We have until then to meet this challenge. We just really want to, you know, thank everybody for sticking with us. And I really want to thank you, Glenn Washington, for being here. It's been just a pleasure.
It is so good again to come in here, see some old friends, and know that the community of snappers stands united with KALW.
Yes, 800-525-9917, KALW.org. I am Julie Kane, and you are listening to KALW in San Francisco.
Peace out.